Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Well, has the government shutdown caused you a lot of financial stress? It would not be surprising if it has. You have to pay your mortgage, your rent, school loans, education for kids, phone, water, electric bills. The list could go on and on. Tonight, our guests will offer some financial guidance on making the best financial decisions as you attempt to make ends meet during this shutdown. The phone lines are open. We'd like to hear from you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Also, we are live on WHUR's Facebook page, so share your questions or your comments. We want you to be involved. Our guest tonight in studio with us is Ebijoke Akinbowale, Director of the NRC's Financial Equality Center and Housing Counseling Network. Did I get all of that in?
You did.
I did. I did a good job of getting all that in. And so as we talk tonight, we've been talking all week, Ebijoke, about the financial, the government shutdown, right, and what it has meant for folks not only who are in the government, but those who are outside of the government, who are contractors. How can folks who are dealing with this make the best financial decisions, put themselves in the best position to weather this storm, so to speak?
Mm-hmm. Well, my first and probably the most significant recommendation that I can make is to redo your budget. A lot of times as households, we budget from what we've got coming in, what's our debt to income ratio, what are the expenses that we have on the household. But this is clearly an emergency situation for many households, and that means that you need to do an emergency budget. You need to take stock and inventory of what other resources you have coming in and what options are most important to your home. That's a family conversation. It's not independent. And it really does vary household to household. Is there a presence of children? Are there persons with disabilities? Do you have seniors in the household? Is there medical needs that you need to be mindful of? So it really is critical that you sit down and you take a look at your budget and redo it.
Now, that's a lot for many of us to do, mm-hmm. whether it's crisis or not. So now you put crisis on top of that, and you're asking folks to that. The buzzword there is budget. Mm-hmm. Some folks don't believe in a budget, and now you're saying you need to budget. Are we ready to do that, and do we even know how to do it?
Well, I think you hit on a really important point. Get assistance. And that's what housing counselors are for. I know at NCRC's Financial Equality Center, we have a team of mortgage advisors ready and able to assist families with that budget conversation. I mean, I'll be frank, what we see a lot of times is a lot of fear and stress, and it overwhelms us. We don't want to have conversations that we need to have, and we don't want to deal with the difficult things we need to do, like doing a budget. So pull in some resources. There are tons of nonprofits like my own that are ready, able, and willing to assist you with having that conversation and pointing you in a direction of a guide. There's definitely worksheets and workshops available for families' disposal.
So in some ways, do you see this as an opportunity?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know I'm kind of flipping this, right?
Yes.
A stressful situation, but is this an opportunity for folks maybe to kind of recalibrate and use this as a way to maybe start going down a more productive path in terms of how we handle our money, how we save, how we prepare for emergencies, because this is an emergency right now.
100%. I mean, I think there's an overwhelming statistic that says over 80% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. We'd be remiss if we didn't think that that included federal government employees and federal contractors. So with that conversation, it's most certainly an eye-opener for all of us to take stock of what's happening at home with our finances and how are we saving as a country. The average American has less than $1,000 in their savings account, but the recommendation is that you have 6 months' worth of expenses. And so while it's a difficult time, certainly for many, I definitely think it's an opportunity to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and to tap into resources such as housing counseling to better prepare our families for the future.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. The phone lines are on tonight. We're talking about the partial government shutdown. And if you are one of those under stress financially and you're trying to find a way to make it, or that stress hasn't hit you yet, or you're trying to prepare for it, This is the conversation you want to have and be part of. And again, you can join us on Facebook, our WHUR Facebook page. We are live, so please send in your questions or your comments, and we will get to them. Again, 202-319-7810. Our guest tonight in studio is Ibijo K. Akinbawale. She is the NCRC Director of Financial Equality, the Financial Equality Center and Housing Counseling Network. I'm going to get you to shorten that title before this show is over, but we've got it all in. You hit on something when you mentioned most folks only have about $1,000 saved up.
Less but
also,
than.
Also, the statistics are showing that 50% of these government workers do not have a college degree, right? Mm-hmm. And so now we're also talking about the issue of options, right? What are your options? Today we see on the news Fairfax County, they saw thousands of folks coming in applying for substitute teacher jobs. Mm-hmm. Same thing in Montgomery County. So is this one of those, do what you have to do with what you have?
I think in this day and age, we're more entrepreneurial than we've ever been before, with options like Ubering and ride-sharing programs, home-sharing programs like Airbnb. I think we have to use all of the resources and options that we can take advantage of. And so whether that is, I know a lot of folks are considering part-time employment and other opportunities that they may not have considered initially, but I think it's definitely a combination of taking a look at your expenses, cutting what you can cut, and pursuing other options, because truthfully, we don't know how long this thing is going
to
last.
And President Trump has already said that. 202-319-7810. Let's go to the phone lines now. And James is calling from the district. James, go right ahead with your question or comment. Hello, James. All right, James, make sure you give us a call back. Let's go down the issue of housing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That is a biggie. Mm-hmm. Right? Here's the deal. We all know, whether you're working or not, you've got to pay that mortgage every month. You cannot pay your mortgage partially. If you miss a payment, it will affect your credit level. What do you do if your mortgage is due, and we already know some of us have not received that federal government check? What do you do? Can you use your credit card? Should you use a credit card?
Well, I think it's tough, certainly. And while housing counselors, they're really designed to be advocates and to inform and educate families on what their options are. So we certainly don't like to be in the business of saying this is what you need to do, but we want to guide the families in a direction where they're making informative decisions. The most important thing for whether it's a mortgage or if you're a renter is to get on the phones and contact your lender, contact your landlord, and let them know that you're furloughed and that you're being impacted by the situation. We can't make assumptions that they're aware of your status as a federal government employee. And truthfully, the options that each bank has for you, it differs bank to bank. And so whether or not that's them offering certain grace periods, whether that's a conversation about repayment options or other incentives or assistance that they may have, we've got to step past a place of fear and frustration about this furlough. A lot of folks are mad. A lot of folks are stressed and fearful, but we've got to get on the phones and be proactive. I think one of the worst things that you can do is wait to have the conversation. As earlier as you can get in and start having the conversation with these folks and making them aware of your situation, you should. But also be mindful that it's still a debt and debt collectors will still call you, but that debt collection is not necessarily the same thing as loss mitigation or the offices that really have the assistance for you as it pertains to your mortgage.
And is it different if you are part of the government shutdown to make that call? Does it give you more agency to say I'm a federal government worker versus someone else saying I have a tough time? What are your thoughts there?
Well, I will say in general, foreclosure is a process. It's a difference between being 30 days delinquent and being 90 plus days delinquent. There are options for all under any banking circumstance. However, this furlough is a mass situation and folks are aware and banks are being proactive in terms of the way that they choose to respond and assist consumers. So it's really important that you let them know what the situation is. I mean, they won't know if you don't contact them.
202-319-7810. 201-780-202-319-7810. Our conversation tonight is financial stress and what you should be doing to decrease your stress during this partial government shutdown, especially if it's affecting you. Joining us now is Muriel Garr. She's the co-host of Beyond the Bling on SiriusXM Channel 141. Muriel, thank you for joining us.
Well, it's good to be here. Not under these conditions, but it is definitely always good to be here.
Now, we were talking about home mortgages, right? And the specifics of that, that if you don't pay your mortgage, that's a biggie. So if I'm in a situation where I'm a government worker, I haven't got my paycheck, I can't pay my mortgage, but I have a credit card, and I can use that credit card to pay my mortgage, is that a viable option? And if not, what are other options folks can take to try to hold on to their house and make sure the creditors aren't knocking at the door?
If the lender will allow you to use your credit card to make a payment, then if that's the only source of funds that you have, then you need to consider doing that.
Yeah, I'm going to stop you right there because you said that word allow. Sometimes you're not.
Well, sometimes a lender will not allow you to use a credit card to make a payment. So then our option may be to do a cash advance. And the reason why I said if the lender will allow you, because there's a difference between making a credit charge and a cash advance charge. The reason is if you do a cash advance, it's going to cost you more in interest. If you do a charge, it's going to be less in interest. And one of the things that we want to make sure that consumers are aware of is that after this crisis, we don't have another crisis, mm-hmm. that we're not spending a lot of money to recover and recuperate. And then at the end, we've got all of these additional interest rates, interest charges and fees as a result of something that we didn't cause. And the reality of it is the consumer didn't cause this situation. The other reality of it is, as you all have been talking about, the average consumer does not have that money saved. So now they're looking at alternative means in order to just have, first of all, a safe, decent place to call home, how they're going to feed their children. And so when we're looking at that, the first thing is, if the lender will allow you to use a charge card to make the payment, then charge the mortgage. Don't do a cash advance. And that doesn't apply just to mortgages. Anything else, if you've got the available credit, and if that's the only thing you're going to be using to survive off of, then don't do cash advances. Then do your transactions via a charge.
So in short, credit cards are a good emergency fallback if you have to use them.
Well, you use the word good. They are a fallback. I'm not going to say that they're good because debt is debt. But if you're in a situation and you have no savings, Monty, and so then you're choosing between using a credit card, doing a title loan or a payday loan, or pulling money out of your retirement plan, your 401B, your 403, or your TSP. I'm going to say the last two things I want you to look at is a title loan and the payday lender. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I don't even want you to ride past them. I want you to understand the things that are in your financial toolkit. And some of those things that are in our financial toolkit, we don't necessarily like to talk about. If this goes for a six-month period or longer, people are going to have to make some difficult decisions. We've trained people to be married to a credit score, and that then is their sense of self, their self-worth, their identity. Well, in this situation, you were going to work every day. Somebody did what we would call a lockout. And so you can't go to work, which means you can't earn, which means you can't honor your promise to pay. Credit is a promise to pay. And that was of no fault of your own. So that may mean that you're going to have to make a difficult decision, and some people may not get paid. And depending on how long that strings out, you may have to make another decision to say, some debt may end up being bankrupt at the end.
All right, we're going to talk more about that. I want to make sure that folks know an event that is coming up. Tell us about the event that you've got coming up with the Financial Equality Center.
Absolutely. This Friday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., NCRC's Financial Equality Center will be having housing counselors available to speak with folks. We're offering breakfast and we're offering gift cards to help supplement any expenses folks may be incurring. They're small gift cards. I'll be mindful. But we want to have conversations with you about debt management. If you're at risk for foreclosure, if you're missing mortgage payments, we want to connect you with a housing counselor that can assist you.
And Muriel, very quickly, if folks want to get to you, how can they contact you?
Via Beyond the Bling One. I'm on social media and I'm responding, or they can contact me via the station at WHUR and I'll get right back with them.
And if you're on the phone, we're going to get right back to you because we're going to continue this conversation on the SiriusXM Channel 141 side. That is the Daily Drum on the HUR. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm is next on 96.3 WHUR. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on HUR Voices, SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Tonight, we are talking about your finances during the partial government shutdown and how you are making it. How are you prepared for this shutdown that many of us don't know when it will end? The leader of the nation says this thing could go from February into March. Today, the president called a meeting of Republicans and Democrats. The Republicans showed up. The Democrats did not. So we're at day 25, and we're pretty sure we're going to be at day 26. So that means you've got to get your finances together and be prepared for this to be prolonged. And so tonight we have our guests, our experts in studio to help us, give us some guidelines, how to make sure we are best prepared for what is happening. In studio with us tonight is Abijuke Akinbawale. Akinbawale.
Yes.
I got it this time. All right. She's the NCRC director of the Financial Equality Center and Housing Counseling Network, and Muriel Garr, co-host of Beyond the Bling on SiriusXM Channel 141. The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Also, join us live on our Facebook page, WHUR. Share your questions or your comments. We will get to those, and hopefully our guest here can help you along as we try to make sense of a lot of what's happening here with this government shutdown. Abijuke, when we're talking about budgeting and putting your money together, I want you to go back, if you can. You had mentioned something about make the call, right, about if you need to make a payment or if you need to make a late payment. What about if you have late fees that tend to pile up from these? Can folks do anything about that? Can you get ahead of that? Or should you take the late fee and then call and try to get it taken off? How should we handle something like that, especially if our money is tight?
Well, I think one thing we've got to acknowledge that this shutdown is just going to cause more debt for a lot of households. And it really does depend on what the lender has to say. Each lender, again, is making their own policies. There's no blanket regulation on if you can be penalized, if they will report or not. They're really choosing to make individual decisions at this point in time, which is why the notification makes a difference. Now, if you wait until 45 days after the fact, after the bill is due to contact someone, those fees may already be assessed. But if you've given them proper notification to say, hey, I'm impacted before the due date, and you're looping folks into what's going on with your home, they can let you know whether or not there'll be grace periods or what other forbearance options may pop up or exist. And that really is with a number of transactions. That's your home. That's your car. The difficulty that you must be mindful of is, again, time. We don't know how long this thing is going to be. You want to be careful of getting into situations where you're agreeing to repayment terms that are tied to dates that you're not sure of. So be really mindful of that, because when you get into those repayment agreements, you're obligated to meet it. So as best as you can, just continue to be in contact with them and ask for what you need. Hey, is there any way that we could waive this fee, any way that we could waive this penalty? I think it's a bigger conversation. Then also, I know there are lots of resources available to folks that are currently experiencing this. Just always ask what the options are. The best thing that you can do is be informed and ask.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight we're talking about your money during this partial government shutdown and how best to handle that money. Emergency funds, paying your bills, electric, water. Do you pick some bills to pay and others not? Do you use credit cards? Let's go back to the phone lines, and Monica is calling from Capitol Heights. Monica, go right ahead with your question or comment.
All right. it's a question, and I think I'm the financial nightmare here. My husband just got a job. He was a government contractor, and of course, the shutdown happened.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we're dependent really on my income, which is less than $1,100 a month. I'm a teacher's assistant, and you know, we don't get paid much. I have a child that's going into his second year of college, and right now my husband is pulling 24 hours or less at a part-time job that he was smart enough not to let go.
So what's sort of drill down to your question, Monica, is what? What do you do? Should you go for a second job, or what is it that you want our experts to sort of help you with?
Okay, with my deduction, should I let some things go, like life insurance deductions, or, you know, what? How can we make ends meet? We're already living very frugally,
right?
You know, because he just got the job. So
okay, let me let our guest Muriel.
So, that's a great question, because we look at some things like life insurance, health insurance, and if those are deductions that we need to cancel for a period of time, the challenge with that is when we cancel those payments, it is highly likely we're going to cancel the policy. And so that is not a wise choice when we're looking at some things to adjust. Now, some other things that we may be able to adjust, and if we do this, we need to really be mindful when we're doing this. You know, at the beginning of the year, we look at what our deductions are, the number of exemptions that we take, and then we are taxed based on the level of our exemptions. Now, one of the things that we can do, but I would strongly advise that we talk to a tax consultant or a tax preparer, is adjust our withholdings so that we can then increase our take home.
Mm-hmm.
However, when we go back to work and our income goes back to the way it was, we need to go back and readjust our exemptions accordingly, so that we don't have a tax nightmare when this is all over.
And how often can folks do that, and who do they go to see to make that adjustment?
You can do that as often as your payroll department will allow you to do it.
Are there restrictions sometimes from a payroll department?
Well, the payroll department may have restrictions, and then it's the timeline as to when they process their payroll. You can't go in and say, I'm going to have zero exemptions if you had a tax liability the year before, but you can definitely modify your exemptions throughout the course of the year.
Abidra K., you had mentioned that we're supposed to have 6 months of savings. Most of us do not, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. How do you reverse that if you're used to living paycheck to paycheck? If you have to live paycheck to paycheck, and I know that's subjective. Some folks may say you don't have to. But if you have to, how do you shift that? How do you change that? You can't shift it right now, right?
I think it's a difficult ongoing conversation. I think it's a conversation we typically pick up temporarily, but we don't revisit. In terms of budgeting and things of that nature, I mean, there are a lot of things that one should consider in terms of looking at your automatic payments and things that are coming out, subscriptions and things that you don't use. I mean, it's January. I don't know how many of us signed up for a gym membership that we probably won't ever use.
Mm-hmm.
And then in December, it's still there. It's little expenses like that that we overlook. And cutting down, are you using is there a cheaper service that you can look at when it comes to cable or other options? Do you even need it? I mean, so many people are using other methods now, as in Fire Sticks and other things. I think budgeting is a constant conversation budgeting and looking at your expenses is a constant conversation you need to look at. I mean, we live in an expensive country. We're all in D.C.
Very
affordable
expensive
housing
yeah.
stock here, it does not exist. But it's something that you should bring in professional support for. And that keep in mind that professional support is free. When you want to have conversations about your credit, your finances, and how to repair those options, you don't necessarily need to go out and pay for it, because what happens happens a lot of times is it doesn't change your situation. You haven't learned how to save any better. You haven't learned how to manage what expenses you have and where to cut things out. So pulling in qualified professionals like housing counselors, they can most certainly assist you with those options. But it's ongoing and it really does require investment and commitment. Are we cutting back? Is this month, are we not eating out because it's cheaper for us to prepare our meals at home? I mean, it's a full on dive in. I mean, you have to look at the full picture for sure.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. The phone lines are open. We're talking about the financial stress you may be experiencing during the partial government shutdown and how to best to handle that. Muriel Garr, you wanted to follow up?
Yeah, I did, because I think one of the things that we have to understand is that we, in this capitalistic society in which we live, we have conditioned individuals to adjust to a credit score and not a savings score. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge difference. Mm-hmm. We just came out of a housing foreclosure crisis, and people were faced with, you know, whether or not I'm going to lose or keep my home. Their available credit was reduced. And we're asking people to do for these things, for those of us that are in the business, you know, you need to set a budget, understand the things that you need. You've got to sacrifice here, cook at home and not go out. But then at the same time, they're being inundated with credit offers, this image of what lifestyle is. And I think we need to have a real conversation with people about what life is really about, that we are feeding them go get, go get, go get. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, we're telling them, you know, you should have 6 months reserve. And in order to do this, we've got to do this and do that. The reality of it is we're giving dual messaging. And it is hard for human beings, because we are human, to adjust accordingly. It's interesting that the caller that we just had said, you know, we're in a dual income household, but I'm only making this. My husband's got a part-time job. How are we going to make it? Her blessing may be just how they navigate through this. Because one of the things we've tried to tell people in the coaching, and we talk about this on Beyond the Bling, is if you have an opportunity, try living off of one paycheck.
Ooh.
Because when you are conditioned and you recondition yourself, and we talk about this on Beyond the Bling, live off of one paycheck. Position yourself where you can choose versus being chosen. Condition yourself to pay yourself first versus paying a creditor. Think about it. If you're paying yourself 18%, 19%, 20% or 21%, which unfortunately is the interest rates that many people, particularly of color, are paying, if you start paying yourself that, then you start getting a little excited. Trying to go and buy something new is not necessarily what's going to make you want to have a conversation with your girlfriend. You're going to have a conversation with your girlfriend or with your boo about, hey, my investment statement just came in and I got some money in my savings account. And right now, while, you know, the president is tripping, you're like, I'm going to have to dig into my investment account in order to make these bills paid. And I think one of the things we've done is we have caused people to feel like they are so less than because they haven't met our hurdles. And one of our hurdles being having 6 months saved. Well, particularly in this market, and particularly in Maryland, I just got out of getting my house saved.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to make sure it's right side up. And now you're telling me, I need, you know what, I don't have 6 months saved. So now let's talk to me about some of the things that I can do. If I pull unemployment, I need to understand that when I do get paid, I'm going to have to pay it back. If I have to pull from my retirement plan, that's a last option. But I need to understand if I have to pull those funds as a hardship withdrawal, that means for a 6 month period, I can't invest back into that plan again. And maybe that's okay. That title loans and payday loans, we talked about that on the first segment, that's a no-no. If I've got available credit on my credit cards, I may need to use that. I heard you say on the first segment, if you've got real estate and you got five bedrooms in a house and you only using two, you know, you may not be able to do Airbnb in a community where you got an HOA, but if you're not in a community where you can do that, well then, you know, you've got college students and college students actually have student loans that pay for housing. Can I rent out a room and generate some additional income? We need to empower people to be more entrepreneurial on how they're going to actually get revenue in. And then the last thing, and I'll step back, is that we've got to understand we've got a lot of businesses that are also challenged because they've got invoices where they've invoiced the government, they're not getting paid.
Right.
We need to make sure that they know that there are what we call SBDCs, Small Business Development Centers, that are located throughout the United States that they can actually go to for coaching and assistance in actually meeting their payroll.
You are getting a plethora of advice here. It is free advice. Beyond the partial shutdown, this is financial advice that we can all use. We're going to continue this conversation. Yes, our focus is the partial government shutdown and what we can do to make sure our finances are tight and straight. And if they're not, how we can sort of make it through this process. So we're going to continue this conversation. The phone lines are still open, 202-319-7810. Also, again, we're live on our Facebook page. Be sure to follow us there. If you have questions or comments, be sure that you can send those in. But we're going to take a quick timeout, and we'll be right back with the Insight segment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Our discussion tonight is making sure you have your finances in order during this partial government shutdown, especially if it's affecting you directly. That's even more important. But this is also a night where if you are just looking for information how to be sure to have your finances in order whenever there might be an emergency, this is the time for you to give us a call or to listen in. The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Also, you can join us on our Facebook page, WHUR. Share your questions or your comments, and we will be sure to get them answered as best we can. In studio with us tonight is Muriel Garr. She's the co-host of Beyond the Bling on SiriusXM Channel 141. And Ubijoke Akinbawale.
Yes,
I got it. All right. NCRC Director of the Financial Equality Center and Housing Counseling Network. You know you're of my heart, because with a name like Bramante, I understand. So just work with me. I'm going to throw this out to both of you. We were talking before we came back about trying to decide what is it those apples are in the air. Boy, we've got all these bills to pay. And, you know, old school, I hold off here, I pay a little bit of this, I pay a little bit of that. If folks out there are watching and listening and they're trying to figure out, what do I pay first? What am I okay with sitting aside? Mm-hmm. So, Abijuke, I start with you.
I think advice I'd have here is don't try to pay everything. It can be overwhelming. And, of course, we fall into this routine and cycle. I get paid. I pay bills. I do what I want. I get paid. I pay bills. I do what I want. At some point, we've got to toss saving in there. But at this point, I'll say don't try to pay everything, but put it in writing. Write out your budget. This is a conversation of what do I want versus what must I have. And so with that, coupled in with contacting the people that have your loans, contact your car loan person, contact the person for your mortgage, contact your landlord, and discuss what the options are that are available, and then sit down with your household to figure out what's important. If it's a household of you, yourself, and I, all right, you make the decisions. If there's more that needs to be considered, again, are persons with a disability in the home, is there medicine, are there student needs that need to take place, and you figure out what are those top things that are most important to your household. Are you making a decision to keep that credit card afloat and make those payments on time because you need the cash flow? Are you already behind on your mortgage payment and truthfully in fear and saying, I need to do whatever I can to make a mortgage payment? I mean, it really is household to household, but sit down and figure out what's most important for me. Do I need to pay this car loan and make sure that insurances are and things are up to date and I have no other options? Again, it's all about the options, because there's so many, whether it's forgiveness, it's forbearance. These are words that you should get familiar with, whether it's deferment. All of these things can be your friend in a situation like this. And so have a hard talk with yourself or a hard talk with a housing counselor to figure out what's more important for your household. And that will let you know, hey, these are our priorities. Regardless of what happens moving forward, these are the things that we're focusing on. We're focusing on eating, which is critically important. There are tons of resources around the city. I know Bread for the City and other organizations are providing meal options, even Whole Foods. But we've got to eat. We've got to gas this car. Mm-hmm. We've got to keep this shelter. So have that conversation with your household and prioritize and then keep that focus.
Miriam, what would be your suggestions when you're talking about prioritizing what you pay first and what you sort of leave on the bottom rung?
Yeah, I agree with what she says, but I simplify it. It's those things that have collateral attached to it or that are secured, that are necessary to live in, and then the other things fall after that. So your mortgage has collateral attached to it, which is being the home. An automobile has collateral attached to it. If you don't have a mortgage and you have rent, that's an attachment because you need a place to live, perhaps. You may not. You may have another option. And those things need to be prioritized. And then when you look at your unsecured debt, then categorize your unsecured debt based on the rate of interest that you're paying on it, which many of us don't even know. If you've got 10 credit cards and I asked you just to write down who you owe, what the interest rate is on each one of those credit cards, and you can't use your phone to look it up, the average person will not be able to do that. But now is the time to know what is the cost of actually that credit, and then determine, you know, whether or not that's something that you're going to need to keep. Health care is extremely important. I agree with you. If you've got individuals in your home that have a disability or have a medical need, that's not something that you can just push aside.
If you do not have a medical need, right, and say you're a young person, I've worked before. You know, my first job didn't pay much, didn't have any health coverage, wasn't as worried about it, was by myself. No, that's crazy at the time because my parents would have probably had to foot the bill, right? Should you ever decide I can go without health care?
That's a risk. That's a risk, and that's a risk that, you know, you have to decide whether or not you're going to take that risk, because life happens. You can say, well, you know, I've looked at my family health history, and we've historically not been a family that's had health-related issues. Mm-hmm. I eat well. I'm not a fast food person. I exercise. I'm going to be fine. However, one trip to the hospital can bankrupt you.
Mm.
And so you have to think about that. That is definitely a risk. One trip to the hospital can bankrupt you. We've talked about this on Beyond the Bling. When we look at impediments to financial wealth and we're looking at people's credit reports, more than likely you're going to see a health-related expense or activity that has gone delinquent as a result of someone not having health insurance or having some type of health-related issue in their family where they were underinsured to take care of. So we're talking about longevity, and we like to talk about on the show wealth creation, even in the midst of debt or in the midst of a diverse or a situation where we're not making a lot of money, that we can still move to wealth if we change the way we look at things.
Abiju K, during the shutdown, we're trying to handle our money, the issues that we're talking about tonight. Do people of color face different challenges?
Don't we always? I will definitely say so. I think one of the major issues here is that, one, not everybody is going to qualify to get back pay. I think that's a part of the conversation that we haven't had yet.
Mm-hmm.
Contracted employees, again, considering that pay-to-pay situation that many are in, low-income communities, just because you are impacted by the shutdown does not, and you're a federal government employee, does not mean that you have the means to meet all of your needs. And so I will definitely say so. And I think our conversation about wealth building in the community of color is different, and how we gain access to that is different. So when something like a shutdown hits our community, we're shook. It hits us hard. It hits us harder than those communities that have conversations earlier about saving, and they actually have savings. They have a variety of assets that they can tap into, and different lines of credit, higher credit scores. I mean, if we talk about the credit box itself, we'll have to probably have another show here. But that's a legitimate question. I think we're more likely to look at some of the payday lending and predatory lending options. People of color color are subjected to that the most. There are not a lot of banking institutions in communities of color in general.
But I think the part of it is not necessarily the lack of access. It is the lack of knowledge of what your power is. And what happens in communities of color is why they are predominantly using these alternative service providers is because they don't know their value. Mm. They don't pull their credit report twice a year, and they don't know that, in fact, they are bankable here. Mm. And so they're going to a financial service company thinking that that's their worth, when if someone took the time to explain to them, wait a minute, you've got pretty good credit. You can go to a traditional bank or a credit union and be paying actually less for money, which is why it's so important that things like NCRC and the housing counseling agencies that are listed in HUD and those that are in that financial education and empowerment space are educating particularly communities of color to understand not only how money works, but understand your worth. Know what your payment history looks like and know what that means and how that translates into how much you should be paying for interest and are paying for money and what you are worth. And the other thing, we have to also have these family conversations, because the difference between us and them is that they can go to their parents, mm-hmm. and their parents have the money to actually mm-hmm. write them a check, say, you know what, I know it's going to be 3 months, here you go. And we don't have those conversations, but it's not that we're not getting better at it. We just got some ways to go. And so it's important during this time that we help encourage people and let them know you can make it through and keep your head up. Just because if you don't, the stress alone mm-hmm. will cause you to make a bad financial choice.
Mary O'Gard, co-host of Beyond the Bling on Sirius XM Channel 141. Please tell our listeners and our viewers how they can get in touch with you if they'd like to.
The best way is WHUR.com, or you can follow us on Beyond the Bling 1. Send us a message and we will follow back up with you immediately.
Abidjo K. Akinbawale, yes, NCRC, Director of Financial Equality Center and Housing Counseling Network. Big event coming up January 18th. Tell our listeners and viewers about it.
Again, January this 8th to the 18th, we'll be at our office. We're providing breakfast and gift cards. We welcome and it's open to all federal government employees and contractors. We've got housing counseling options for you. We want to help you with your mortgage delinquency and how you can negotiate and advocate on behalf of yourself and manage other debts and do some financial planning. You can check us out at ncrc.org. Our 1-800 number is 1-800-475-NCRC. Again, 1-800-475-NCRC.
Thank you all so much. Great conversation. Thank you all for your questions, your comments, your viewing.